The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. As Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. As Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and have the best seats in the synagogue. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers, but they will receive the greater condemnation." Please be seated. I begin this morning with a story I heard from one of my clergy friends. I'm sure it's an old story, but as I said at 8, I've gotten to the age where old stories and new stories are, I mean, they're all new stories to me, it seems like. At any rate, a story about a family who was on their way home from church one Sunday, and as they were driving home, they were talking about the service. And the father who was driving said, "You know, I don't think I really understood what that preacher was trying to tell me. It was hard to follow. It seemed to go on forever. I really don't know why it takes so long to make just one obvious point." His wife said, "Well, I thought the songs were too long and were impossible to sing. And if I knew any better, I could have sworn that I heard a harmonica playing." 12-year-old Johnny piped out from the back seat, "Well, I had a great time. Besides, what did you expect for $5? Well, I know you could tell from that lead-in what we're talking about this morning. Money and stewardship. And in particular, we'll be looking at a woman, a widow, who gave even less than $5, but it was virtually her last $5, and that's what made it an extraordinary gift and makes it such an interesting story that we get to read it today, and Jesus points her out to us as an opportunity for learning. So let's look again at today's gospel. It's that familiar story that we refer to as the widow's mite. Mite, M-I-T-E, being a small offering. The UTO boxes that we'll be gathering today were mite boxes in my day, and it was where you put their small change, things that the leftover to make sure that it went for a good cause. Now it's called a United Thank Offering. Anyway, back to our story. At first glance, it looks like it must be a teaching about perfect giving, simply because the widow has put in everything that she has, not 10% or even somewhat more. She's put in everything. She's all in. All she had to live on, Jesus said. The Greek words that were translated "all she has to live on" can also be translated as her whole life. In other words, Jesus is saying she put in her whole life. Clearly then we can see this as an act of ultimate in giving, the standard of excellence for which we all are to achieve. And luckily for the preacher, it comes up just when we're in the midst of our stewardship season and hearing about stewardship in our sermons and in our talk. So perfect timing, right? However, and there's always a however after a statement like that, however, there is another side to the story that is equally important to talk about. And that is how this scene of the widow at the treasury is coupled with Jesus denouncing the temple scribes in those immediately preceding verses. Because he's obviously angry about that, obviously angry with those scribes for their pretentiousness, and also that they seem to care so little about the common people. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and who have the best seats in the synagogue." And their posturing is all the more obvious because the scribes weren't that high up in the religious hierarchy anyway. They're administrators for the priests and for the Pharisees, but their office obviously afforded them some fringe benefits of stature and dress, and they were more than willing to take advantage and gladly show off that fringe benefit. And Jesus is expressing disdain at that, disdain at the pretentiousness of the temple hierarchy. But he's even more angered, I think, that they are failing to carry out God's number one and two commandments, to love him and to love their neighbors. Jesus accuses the scribes of being among those who devour widows' houses. And so that's a very important juxtaposition in this story. The proud and haughty members of the religious institution who devour widows' houses on one hand, and the widow, the one who's being devoured, on the other. And therefore, I submit that Jesus is pointing to the widow as much because she is a victim of the corrupt temple as he is because of her selfless giving. In fact, I would say the story is probably more about Jesus' dismay and disappointment in the institution of the temple than it is about the size of the widow's tithe. That picture of extravagance of the temple is set against the faithful giving of the widow in a way that demands our attention to that dichotomy. So if we look at the story from that standpoint, we as modern churchgoers, we as consumers, might wonder whether or not the widow should be contributing anything at all to a system that is obviously corrupt. After all, how many of us would be willing to give to an institution, church or otherwise, that we thought was wasting our hard-earned money? Clearly, Jesus opposes using the temple's money for flowing robes and other unnecessary extravagances. So what does he really think about the widow supporting that institution, no matter how selflessly? That's an interesting question, isn't it? And it's interesting because we've now worked our way around from our original thinking of this story being about perfect giving to now wondering whether or not the widow should be giving to that broken institution at all. I think that's fascinating. However, I do not believe that her gift is negated because the temple includes sinners who seek to glorify themselves rather than to glorify God. And the reason that her gift is not a waste is because it is an extension of her faith. She is simply behaving faithfully in the particular circumstance in which she finds herself. The widow acts out her faith and does what God calls her to do with no promise, no reward other than what her faith itself promises. Hear that again. Her only reward is simply what her faith promises. That's always what our reward is what our faith promises us. And that sounds like Christ-like behavior, doesn't it? And indeed, that is the example to which we aspire, to be faithful in what we are called to be and do without overly concerning ourselves about the imperfections and failings of others. On this Veterans Day, we are reminded very clearly of that truth. Everyone in here is undoubtedly disappointed in some way or another by the election results. Some good people lost their jobs, as always happens at election time. Since both parties seem to have thought they carried the day, then that means somebody's not right. So in every case, something happened or someone was elected that we probably did not vote for. But being disappointed or even discouraged about the failings of government does not excuse us from serving where we are called to serve. And today we give thanks for those who did just that, who risked or gave their lives for our freedom. Gave their lives or fought for our freedom, not because our system of government is perfect, but because it's the one that we have. It's the one that we have, and where would we be if those who served were not willing to stand watch and sacrifice as needed to uphold and protect our way of life, imperfect or not? The same is true with the church. Probably none of us agree with everything that's done around here, how every dollar is spent. And there may be times when Calvary or the diocese or the national church appear to be wasteful or even lost. And we struggle. We struggle with how to respond to those imperfections in our church and to the disappointment that that creates in us. The widow's example tells us we're not exempted. We're not exempted from living out our faithful obligations because the church is less than perfect. Her message to us is that we are to be faithful witnesses of Christ's love for us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Even with all of its imperfections and warts, the church still is the body of Christ. And our Christian calling is to be very members of Christ's body and to contribute our talents, our resources to support and support the gifts of other members in that body. And so we work together. We work together to make our church an effective witness of Christ in a way that Jesus Christ himself would approve. This reading demands good stewardship for each of us as individuals, like the widow. But it also demands good stewardship of the institution, the church, and we're all part of that. This morning is a good opportunity to live into that in some way because we're electing our new vestry and diocesan council delegates today, and so please stay and vote after the service. And then also make sure you know who we're electing so that you know who to see and with the questions or concerns that you might have. Involve yourselves in this place so that we don't become the temple that is more interested in collecting taxes than it is in serving the poor. As your most visible leader, I can tell you that my priorities continue to be hospitality, discipleship, and outreach. Hospitality, discipleship, and outreach, and I expect to be held accountable for those values. But this place isn't just about me. All of us need to be accountable to what our church is doing and why. In my reading this week, I found not only some new things to read, I also found one that I'd saved over the years about stewardship and money. It's written by the Reverend Kathy Tamsberg. And in it, she writes about how money is at the root of our spiritual journey. Also, how money is at the root of our spiritual journey. She says this: every decision pertaining to money and the things it can buy is a spiritual one. Where I live, what I drive, what I eat, where I shop, what I wear, how I entertain myself, they all go to the core of what is really important to me. I can be like the self-important scribes, or I can be the widow who humbly gives all that she has. Either way, the decision I make reflects the heart of who I am. The decision I make about my money reflects the heart of who I am. They telegraph my values to the world. I agree. Decisions that we make about money go to the core of who we are and what we value. Jesus sets that truth up for us perfectly with this story. Stewardship is not about how much money it takes to operate this church. Stewardship is about who we are. Stewardship is about who we are. And the question that I hope we ask ourselves when we're thinking and praying about our financial commitment to Calvary this week is not so much, what number will I write in the blank? Rather, I hope we ask ourselves the question, who am I? Who am I and who do I want to be before God? The widow in our story gives her life to an imperfect system because that is what her faith in her Lord demands of her. And the ironic thing is that in just a couple of days, Jesus himself will literally do the same for our broken and sinful world. He will die for that world. He will die for us in spite of everything we do not to deserve that love. Thanks be to God. Amen.